Dave Moore on Today FM podcast.
Keys to My Life is back this Sunday.
Yes.
Yeah. 7:30 on RTE1.
Yeah.
Keys to My Life. Explain to someone who hasn't seen it, because it's series 4 we're going into now, yeah. So a lot of people have seen it. But in case someone hasn't who's listening, what's the idea of it?
So we take sort of well known, or I say national treasures, or much loved people, yeah, who we kind of recognise, back through the halls of their past, literally by visiting places they've lived.
Mm.
I remember that well, didn't I?
That is very impressive. It's almost like you read it off the RTE guide.
Yeah, I could have done. But it's, I actually wrote that, that's why I remember it. But we go back to maybe their childhood home, where something major happened, or good, bad, or indifferent, and then sometimes school, sometimes workplaces, sometimes recording studios, depends on
where
big moments happened in their lives. And I wrote the format with my friend Warren and Marion, and I'm nosy. I'm just, other people's houses fascinate me.
Amazing.
I love the smell of dinner. Other people's dinner fascinates me.
Absolutely.
As a kid, I was always interested in that. So I hadn't really thought about the emotional bit of walking through a door, that literally you go back in time.
Do you know, that's the key for me about this show, is that it's all very well in terms of like, oh, look, famous person relives their past. Interesting thing. No, it's the emotion that comes out of these people, because some of them have never been back to the place, or even if they have, they're now brought back with a different lens, and they're looking at it in a way where they are thinking about, what does this place mean to me and to the rest of my life? And I love the emotion that comes out of people when they do watch.
I suppose as well, you know, they've seen it, and they know what to expect.
Yeah.
But sometimes, in every single episode this year particularly, something happened and it caught us both off awares, me and them. And we're like, oh, wow. We didn't realise it was a connection to something else in the room.
Right.
And it's just a great privilege to be there. I went to my childhood home by mistake last year when filming. It scared the japers out of me. I don't know, my sat-nav took me through our town to Coolock, where I was born and brought up till I was 8. And the house is exactly the same.
Really?
I took a picture and sent my sisters, and they were like, get out of there!
It is, though. I remember being in Limerick recently, the last, like, say, 5 years, and found my grandparents' house and my dad's, home.
Yeah.
And took a picture and sent it to him. And when I saw him then, like, a couple of days later when I was back home, like, he talked about the emotion. And he's been back to the house hundreds of times, you know. And, obviously his parents aren't around, and they weren't around 5 years ago. But just the fact that he just saw because I was standing outside with cutting my kids, and he just remembers him being that age at that house. And it's amazing what buildings and areas, the emotions that they can bring out in people.
I drive past my grandmother's house all the time now, because it's in Ballyferm, and I just cut up that way to go to Lucan, to my friend Dave's actually. And I remember Christmases, I remember moments, I remember coming down that path with all your gifts, you know, that all your aunts and uncles gave you. And the house just means so much to me still. It was the place we went to celebrate as children.
There you go.
Yeah, I pass it all the time.
So guest-wise, like, you're kicking things off with the brilliant Alicia Carroll. What a dote. And as you said, national treasure.
National treasure, yeah.
So where are you bringing her?
So she went off to England and was married to a childhood sweetheart, very young, and it went up against the wall.
Yeah.
And there's a moment in it where, and I just don't mind me saying, she fell in love with her best friend, who was a woman.
Right.
And it wasn't very reciprocated, and we went back to that house where that all happened.
Oh, wow.
And then she took off back to the west of Ireland and went undercover for a little while, and found herself and who she is now. And she actually went to see her one-woman show, which tells her life story. And it's really about repression and oppression of that women of that particular generation and from that time. And I just love her. Like, we became friends. I'm mad about her. She's just one of the smartest, funniest, nicest people on the planet. I love her. And
brilliant.
We do cry together.
Well, that's always a good sign. Steve Wall, who people will have seen pop up in Dune 2.
Oh, my God, it's so amazing. Have you seen him? It's just so
unreal.
Awesome.
Because it was kind of unannounced. Like, Steve didn't take to Instagram and tell everyone.
He had done that when we were filming.
Absolutely.
He didn't tell anyone.
But he's brilliant. So I'd say that was a great bit of fun as well.
That's my generation.
Yes.
You know, I remember the band, I remember the sounds, the music, I remember how handsome they were, I remember all of that. It's in my teenage memory, you know.
Yeah. Part of your DNA.
Growing up in Ireland. Yeah. So, and his story is amazing. His his issues with record companies in the 80s and 90s and how that turned corners and how he's not angry at all about any of stuff that happened that didn't happen to him in the band. And
I love him.
He's
like
Dune 2. He's the biggest movie. And I heard him being interviewed recently. He's so funny about it.
Yeah.
Annoying Christopher Walken.
I love Steve. He's so good. Maura Duran's in there. Tony Allen from Foster and Allen. Paul Howard. Joan Burton is there. Father Peter McVerry. And you'll see that I'm dressed head to toe in Manchester United gear today because Manchester United beat Liverpool over the weekend.
Are you a Manchester United fan?
Would you guess? At all? I mean, is it obvious in any way? However, you do interview a nemesis of mine from years and years ago, but also an absolutely brilliant footballer, John Aldridge.
Oh, he's amazing. Oh, he's amazing.
What a great shout.
Like, I just took off in the dressing room. We were filming over there and I walked out through the red tunnel. And so many people I know were going bananas. Yes. You don't deserve that.
How dare you?
What do you do there? That means nothing to you.
Did you touch the This Is Anfield sign? You see, you did all the things.
What's interesting about Premiership gods, right, is we had Frank Stapleton in Series 1 and he really enjoyed the experience. And then we had Ronnie Whelan.
Yeah.
And along with him came Ray Houghton. And now is John Aldridge.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, they don't need the money.
No.
And they don't pay so well.
No,
they're all lined up to do it because they love it.
They love doing it.
So it's gone around their group.
Okay,
so
that's
they've
amazing.
They've come to us.
Oh, fantastic.
So here I am on Google. What did he play for?
Liverpool, right?
I mean, I know, the only thing is I did live in Liverpool for a couple of years in my early 20s, so it was great to go back.
But also what I love about this show, though, is it's not you being a super researched interviewer about, you know, sitting and talking to them about their new show or their new book, whatever. It's you're bringing them back to unlock things within them that a normal interview would never get.
Yeah, because and the beautiful thing about it, as you know, as an interviewer, is it's all about them.
Yeah.
The show is all about them and we make sure they feel that. And so I step back a lot. And actually, you'll know only with age and experience, like shutting up and listening is a very hard thing to do when you're younger because you're filling all the space. But when you're just a little more experience, would I say?
Yeah.
You just step back. Plus, we're not live. I can record for 8 hours.
You can get
till I get them tears.
Brendan, we've talked about Keys to My Life, but let's talk about the book you are writing.
The book.
There's the noise of an author mid-write.
Yeah.
I signed up for this thing.
Yeah, it's evolved, actually. It started off as a book about my mum called Mammy Issues, and it started life as a kind of a comedy drama, really, sort of based loosely on my relationship with my mother and our frustration with our older parents and the way that they are quite selfish sometimes because of their upbringing and their lack of opportunity. They now go, right, my turn. And then away. So that's one avenue it's gone in. And then the book has become really, really my mum's story is not my story to tell, right?
Okay.
So I could do it in a comedy drama way, loosely based on our on our relationship. But the book now it's called Is He a Boy or a Girl?
Oh.
Controversial, because until about the age of 7, that was the biggest question I got. People thought I weren't sure if I was a boy or a girl because I was a really high-pitched screaming voice and I had a blonde bob, basically, which my mother called a page boy.
You seem to be describing me a little bit. Go on. Yeah.
And my sister said I screamed like a banshee. And my elder sister would literally take them out in the playground. They'd go, is he a boy or a girl? And the loaded moment was the he. So they kind of knew.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
So it's my story really about growing up.
Okay, and is it factual about you or is it an adaptation of your life into a fiction?
No. This will be pretty much factual.
This will be factual. Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
And it's more to do with growing up on the outside.
Yeah.
And how that turned. I mean, I was even telling somebody this morning, I was chatting about a couple of stories that popped up about growing up and being in Dublin at the start of the gay scene when I was 19. It was still illegal to be gay here.
Yeah.
And remember being afraid of cops because they might arrest you.
Might arrest you for being gay.
Yeah, and so it's kind of about a story about being on the outside. Anyway, it's actually very good therapy. You must try it.
To scribble down everything and
to remember things.
Remember things,
some things you don't want to remember, but most of it's good.
Is it true that you're also turning the initial idea of the book into a sitcom?
That's it. Yeah. So Mammy Issues now is I'm developed into, and in fact I have a co-writer who's a much better writer than me, I have to be honest. she's reading episode 1 at the moment now. Yeah. So
okay.
That's where it started life. It was looking at my relationship with my mum, and she's very funny, my mother. I mean, the stuff she would say to us that I wouldn't say on daytime. But she just has a very sharp wit about things. You know, she has a catchphrase. We said to her once, would you like to go down and help my sister with the kids? Because my dad, her husband was away, and my mother's catchphrase was, thanks for asking, but I wouldn't like that.
So level of honesty?
Oh,
there's a generation who have that level of
amazing,
honesty.
Yeah. So there's a lot of comedy in her. Pure
gold.
Great.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
And then another story I heard about you is that you are potentially volunteering at dog rescue, dog shelter. Is that true?
I was. Do you know what? I've been doing, going through this crisis of conscience about, are you doing everything you want to do with your life?
Mm.
I am not blessed with children. And in a way, that's its own blessing sometimes. Yeah. Right? So you have more, your freedom, right?
Maria has a toddler. She will absolutely yeah. agree with that. Yeah.
And I have a dog and I absolutely love the company of dogs. And,
Nancy Drew.
And Nancy Drew, my doggy. And Linda Martin's a very good friend of mine. And I said, can I volunteer at your pound? And she was like, yeah, let's talk about it.
Okay.
See how we work it out.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was like, I want to just be around them more. I find their energy really good. Yeah.
Amazing.
I mean, I love dogs so much.
That is a great thing to do. I yeah. really like the love I have for dog pounds, rescue centres, things yeah. like that. It's just, they just do the best work.
Yeah.
And to be in that environment, the energy you can get off that is just
and
phenomenal.
They cut a thing, I was doing a TV series a few years ago, and at the wrap party, they cut a sequence of me arriving at people's houses mm. and literally going straight for the dog. It's like literally 20 sequences. I'm like, go, go, go. And then at one point, the sequence ends with me clapping my leg, like calling a dog, but it was a 2-year-old kid. I'm like, come on, let's go.
So, yeah. Amazing.
Yeah, I love dogs.
The thing, the disturbing thing I heard about you.
Oh, go
okay,
on.
Okay, so you can confirm or deny this, is that you change your bed sheets
every day.
You didn't even let me finish the sentence. Is that actually true?
Every day.
Every day?
Every day. So it's a habit stack,
okay.
first of all.
Yeah.
So my sleep hygiene is what it's called.
Yeah,
now
I
in,
believe
in,
so,
in the
yeah.
ethereal world.
Yeah.
Is I'm a very light sleeper.
Okay.
So everything has to be perfect.
Right.
And I live
okay.
in the city centre, so sometimes car alarm, it's out of your control.
Yeah.
Earplugs in. But the one thing I can't control is, and just this kind of, it makes you understand why I do it. My partner lets the dog sleep in the bed.
Okay.
And the dog sheds.
Like, yeah.
It's a Jack Russell.
Yeah.
And I think that's gross because when I'm on my own, the dog doesn't sleep in the bed.
Gotcha.
So I actually just flick the sheet off because all the hair of the dog is there. So
right.
That's
and
why.
Just get it washed.
It's just gross.
Do you have, like, I'm just wondering how many
sets of sheets
you have?
I don't know, about 25, 30.
Oh my God, I thought you were going to say 7. Like you
no,
literally have like loads.
Come on, you know I'm one of those Egypts that goes to IKEA for candles and comes out with
yeah,
two trolleys,
yeah.
new bed linen and everything, stuff you don't need.
Listen, you've been on not that long ago when you were talking about loads of other things, and one of the things we did the quick fire round where I asked you about Madonna was the most famous person in your phone, and what do you wash your legs in the shower?
God, you remember everything.
I do.
A brilliant memory.
Well, to be fair, I'm not going to forget Madonna's the most famous person in my phone. That's an easy one. But one of the questions I didn't get to ask you that day, which I want to know now, is what are you currently obsessed with? Could be anything. Could be a book, a hobby, a meal. Is there anything in your life that you're just kind of going, do you know what? I'm currently, this is my thing.
I'm still grieving the ending of Traitors.
Traitors,
I was obsessed.
Yes.
And I loved finding a new, goofy, stupid, lightweight TV show like Big Brother was years
ago. Yeah,
actually, Big Brother this year was pretty good as well. Let's be
what
honest.
About the celebrity one? Are you watching any of that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you definitely
can possibly comment.
But definitely.
Oh, my goodness, yes. Gold. And when Big Brother first happened, you know, I was addicted to Big Brother.
Yeah.
You know, Anna, when Anna was in it, and Anna, first name basis mates.
Of course, BFFs.
Yeah, so, and Brian Daly I know really well. So I watched all that at the time and loved that it was all based on personality. So when Traitors came along, I was like, I heard about it. Didn't watch the first season, of course.
Right.
And then the second season.
Long.
So I'm looking for currently looking for a new obsession.
Any suggestions?
Answers on a postcard.
Oh, yeah. 087-4100-102. Brendan, thank you so much for coming in. 7:30 p.m. on this coming Sunday, Keys to My Life returns. And it is with Aisha Carroll kicking things off. But as I said, John Aldridge is in there, Steve Wall, Joan Burton, Maura Durand. Going to be absolutely brilliant. Thanks again for coming in.
Thank you so much.
Dave Moore on Today FM Podcast.